The opinions, beliefs, and viewpoints expressed on today's radio show and their guests do not necessarily reflect the opinions, beliefs, and viewpoints of Easy Way Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Forget About It Show with celebrity master pizza chef, celebrity pizza guy Nicholas Rubin, and fashion wellness coach Penny Latham, as they share their experiences, their connections, their knowledge, their wisdom about what you do and you don't want to forget about. Welcome to the Forget About It Show.
Hey.
Hey, welcome to Forget About It Show. Wah, 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 woo, woo, woo. It's hump day. It's Wednesday.
Yeah.
We have a great show today. Our special guest is Christopher Salam.
Salam.
I like doing that.
He does that to him.
World-class keynote speaker, life and business strategist, award-winning author.
Yes, and Celebrity Pizza Guy is where we've been, what we're doing, what we're about to get ready to do. And the people that we interface with on a regular basis, and you know, also our Forget About It news and our Forget About It weather. And so, moving on today, we have our news today is just basically what's been going on this week. I mean, we had the eclipse that was pretty awesome, and when we looked outside, we were kind of shocked because up here in Reading, we didn't really have a dark sky.
Yes, we did.
Well, it wasn't really dark.
We had 87%.
Yeah, but it wasn't dark. Like some of the pictures we saw coming across the country, I couldn't believe it. Even where my sister's from, Chicago area, you know, in Carbondale, I couldn't believe how dark it was.
Well,
and
if we had a clear sky, it would have been better.
I know, we had clouds up here. So it was kind of one of those kind of things. But the issue was how people, you know, they really do, you know, get themselves involved when they wrapped up.
To an eclipse that lasted 2 hours.
2 hours, stopped their life to have a historical moment.
A black moment, and then the sun comes back out, and then they go along with their life.
That's right, and the glasses, I couldn't believe the demand on an item. I mean, we're all in the wrong business, I swear.
$15,000 for a pair of glasses.
I know, and I couldn't believe it. It was like online, they were selling them, and just today we saw someone trying to sell the glasses after the fact. I mean, like someone's going to hold on to us for the next eclipse or something. Anyways,
just make a pinhole, a box, and look through it, and there's your glasses.
Exactly. Yeah, that was kind of funny. They were doing all the cereal boxes.
Big pipe.
I did one of those, and Nick said to me, "Hey, you know that hole's too big. Like we gotta that you poked the hole too big in the box, and now we're gonna see nothing but the sun." So we had a really fun time, and it was a nice relaxing moment.
We got some good pictures.
But we also noticed that people around the world came together. And that is really a big one. I think if you learn anything from what happened with this eclipse, is that people came together. They shared a moment together. They
shared their glasses.
And even people that maybe they didn't even know they were standing next to because they were staring up at the same, you know, the same moon, the same sun, and trying to share that moment. We're going to go on to commercial, and when we come back, we're going to introduce our guest and
Christopher Salam.
And oh, wait a minute, we have the weather. You going to get the weather?
Next.
The weather after? Okay. All right, we're going to go to commercial.
All right. Welcome to EasyWayBroadcasting.com, your one-stop shop getaway to corporate Hollywood. EasyWay specializes in red carpets and will enhance your experience. EasyWayBroadcasting.com is top-ranked on Alexa and houses the EasyWay TV Film On channel, podcast radio station, and EasyWay magazine. Learn more about the beautiful EasyWay Angels and follow their events calendar. For more information, visit EasyWayBroadcasting.com and click on About Us or call 424-209-9290. Don't forget to subscribe to the website and follow EasyWay on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter pages for amazing updates and opportunities. Remember, that's letter E and letter Z, because, well, we do it the easy way. Easy Way Magazine is your best vehicle to advertise in if you would like to reach a quality database in corporate Hollywood. Not only will you read the stories and enjoy the content, you will also get to interact through social media and get to meet who's featured at the events, as well as get exclusive interviews from your favorite celebrities. Easy Way Magazine is a Los Angeles and Orange County-based magazine, but also reaches an international audience. Subscribe to Easy Way Magazine today by following Easy Way Broadcasting on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or EasyWayBroadcasting.com's website. To advertise, call 424-209-9290 or email contact@EasyWayBroadcasting.com. That's letter E and letter Z, because we don't do it the hard way. We do it the easy way.
Finally, something to look forward to on Monday morning. I'm Aretha Gray from Betty White's Out There Rockers, and I've teamed up with Easy's dad, Jim Zuli, to rock your world on Baby Boomers Live. That's right, every Monday morning at 10 a.m., we will be discussing all things human from a baby boomer's perspective. So, tune in to EasyWayBroadcasting.com on BlogTalkRadio.com to see what Jim and I are up to. Your Mondays will never be the same.
All right, we're back now with Forget About It Show. We're going to do a quick weather. We do the four corners of the United States. We're going to start with Redding, California at 100 degrees. Today, it was a little smoker. And then we're going to go down to L.A. L.A. at 77. Then we're going to head to the northeast of Ocean City, New Jersey at 77. Then we're going to head down to the southeast of Florida, Stuart, Florida, 82 degrees. And here we are, and we're ready to bring on our guest, Christopher Salem.
Christopher Salem, yes. And, you know, he is our special guest today, and, you know, he's a world-class keynote speaker. And, you know, he's a life and business strategist. He teaches people how to create a better business for themselves, but most importantly, how to create a better them, you know, how to reach
you.
A better you. There you go. That's a good one. And then an award-winning author. And, you know, he is the, you know, the most important thing that I find is really interesting is he created the word prospreneur, and an individual whose health and wealth are in alignment in the way that leads true prosperity. And Chris, are you on?
Yes, I am. Hey, Nick and
Hey.
We're glad to have you on our show.
Glad to have you on our show. Don't forget about it, Chris.
I love the applause. Keep it coming.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. And you're on the East Coast right now, right?
Yes, on the East Coast. So I heard Nick say, you know, 77 degrees. Yeah, it's been a mild August so far this year in the Northeast. We had one hot day yesterday. It was in the low 90s, but typically, that's what it usually is in the 90s for most of August. So it's been a mild summer here in August. So I'm getting to think that winter is going to be pretty fierce because we've had a mild winter the last two winters here. So I think we're due for a typical New England winter coming.
So where are you located at right now?
I'm in Connecticut, so about an hour from New York City.
A lot cooler there.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yes.
I can't imagine that wind from the ocean, and when it gets cold up there, forget about it. I don't know how you do.
Oh, yeah.
Northeast?
Well, the thing is, there's humidity. So in the summer, it's really humid, and in the winter with the humidity, it can get really cold. So it's one extreme to the other.
That's crazy.
I lived in Jersey all my life.
Yeah.
You know, Doug. You know.
Yeah, he's covered the whole coastline. I mean, you know, Jersey and Florida, and you know, it's a pretty good thing. I'm from Chicago, but you know, I've been away since 77.
It's called the Windy City.
Yeah, the Windy City, and I know wind, but I know cold. But I tell you, I moved from there for a reason. I tell you that I like the warm weather.
Oh, it's cold. It's cold in Chicago. I lived there for 3 years. Boy, I'm talking. I mean, maybe not as much snow, but it is cold, especially with that wind coming off Lake Michigan.
That wind chill goes right through you.
Oh,
yeah,
boy, yeah.
It'll still turn you blue, that's for sure. Well, you know, we have you here on our show, and we're really grateful to have you on and learn about what you do. And, you know, I find that there needs to be more people like you that can help people to, you know, think about who they are and what they're about, and and where they're going in their life, because I think a lot of us are just, you know, standing still wondering what we're going to do next, you know, and I think that's the trouble with a lot of people, and so they don't ever go anywhere with themselves. But we want to find out more about you. So where were you born and raised? That would be our first question. Where were you born?
Well, it's funny that Nick says New Jersey. I was born in Neptune, New Jersey. So
yeah.
I lived there for 3 weeks of my life. So I can say that I'm a New Jersey guy, even though I didn't really live there. I lived there for 3 weeks. My family moved down to Clearwater, Florida for my first 5 years, but for the most part, I was schooled and spent most of my childhood in Connecticut.
In Connecticut. Did you go to college there?
No, I went to college at Arizona State, so I was a Pac-10 guy, yeah.
Now, why'd you come all the way across the country? Was it because you had scholarships, or were you just wanting their program?
Well, it was more or less baseball, so I had a pre-scholarship pending. I made the team at Arizona State, but however, it was so competitive. I did not make the team, but fell in love with the school, the weather, the girls, and, and the rest is history.
That's awesome. Well, that's
Arizona's beautiful.
Yeah, it's Arizona's hot like Redding. I mean, we get up to 120 degrees up here, and I'll tell you, there's more than hot, more than just weather here that's hot.
It's dry heat.
Yeah, it's you know, more like a desert heat is what I call
desert
it.
Desert heat, yeah.
Well,
yeah, it's a desert heat, yeah.
So you went to Arizona, and where did you go from there?
Well, from there, I did a brief stint in California. So I was in Southern California for a short period of time. And then I migrated back to Connecticut briefly, and then kind of went towards the Midwest. So I lived in Chicago for three and a half years. And I also would spend some time, because with what I was doing at the time, in Seattle. So I had an apartment in Seattle, but I lived in Chicago. So I would spend time in both areas. And eventually came back to Connecticut because my father fell ill to cancer and succumbed to it, unfortunately, but have stayed here ever since. So I've been in Connecticut now for 20 years.
Wow.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Is your father still alive? Or?
No. My father passed away in 1999, so he died of lung cancer at the age of 56.
Wow.
Wow, that's young.
So how old were you?
Yeah. At the time, I was 32.
Wow.
At the time. Yes. So I'm 50 now. So, yeah, it's hard to believe that amount of time has gone by, but it has.
It zips by. And so you've had some demographic changes with you traveling all and then having him pass away. I mean, that's quite a bit of change for a young man. And I know that Nick went through that too. When he was 16, he lost his dad. And
he had a brain tumor in his brain. And he died at age of 51,
similar thing. Yeah. It's once it metastasizes, you know, into the bone and lymph nodes, it's very difficult to, at that point, recover. And I don't think my father at the time, because he was emotionally unbalanced, he had the willpower to fight it.
Okay.
Wow.
That must have been hard on your family. And now, do you have brothers and sisters?
Yes, I have a younger brother and a stepsister.
Well, it must have been very hard on the whole family. And with you traveling and everything now, what would you say was the trying time in your life there? Obviously, you've learned through your trials and tribulations, and that's why you've created this technique that you have, and that's what we want our listeners to hear today, because I think that,
sure,
you know, we all go through trials, we all go through loss, we all figure out what we're going to, you know, how we're going to get through things, and sometimes we don't, and I think that it's important for us to, you know, figure out an easier way of how to be successful. And so what did you do next? What was your thing that you did next?
Well, I mean, just to give you a little background, you wanted to find out, you want to know about my trial and tribulations? Is that what you want to find out where? So,
yeah.
Well, I have no problem. I'm very transparent. So As I mentioned, I had a younger brother. I had a mom and dad. My stepsister was from my dad's second marriage, even though it was not his biological daughter. It was so my stepsister. But any event, when I grew up, my father was rarely around. He was busy traveling overseas, launching businesses. And when he was here, he was emotionally unavailable. And there wasn't really a connection. So a lot of times, I grew up kind of directionless. I didn't have a father figure to kind of guide me.
Mm-hmm.
But fortunately, I was able to manage it. So I was able to obviously still get decent grades. Did I get in trouble? Yes. Did I participate in sports? Yes. But I was able to keep somewhat of a balance just to get through those troubling times. My brother, unfortunately, did not. My brother succumbed to drugs and alcohol and eventually mental illness to this day. So, but any event, that being said, because of the lack of my father's presence, it had an effect on me. I didn't realize it at the time, but it wasn't until I was 14 that I began to display anger, overt anger.
Come on.
I began to act out on it. And the way to offset it was to engage in behaviors and certain types of addictive practices that would help me to kind of, not think about it. So I did battle with addiction. It wasn't any particular substance.
Right.
It could be drugs, alcohol, sex, food, you name it. It was either one extreme to the other. It was either all or nothing. I could be clean as a whistle, or I can be, the other way around. So it was never anything in balance. There was no balance in my life at that time. And again, I didn't know who I was. I was basically living a life of what I thought I should be at that time, indirectly looking to capture the attention of my father. Now, I had gone through two near life-death experiences where I, it was from alcohol poisoning. And you would have thought that would have been the wake-up call for me, but it wasn't. What ended up being the wake-up call was that when my father, towards the end of his life, at the time we didn't know he had cancer, that he began to show that he had some regrets. And he was trying to, make up to the best of his ability to establish a connection with me. And it was about at that time when he was diagnosed with cancer. And it was at that time that I began to know that I needed to make changes in my life. I can't be the victim anymore. I can't, state that it's somebody else's fault for why I feel this way and why things haven't worked out for me, why I don't have balance in my life. So I finally incorporated a Eastern meditation and a 12-step program and integrated a process that would now become my own that I use to heal myself and what I use today to help others.
Okay. Well, and so when you say you have this technique that you do, I understand you're a wellness advocate too. Where did that come into play? How did your wellness advocacy, let's say that five times, how did that come into play with your life and start to change you into the right direction?
Well, when I was 18, I was also addicted to working out. So while it started off on the wrong way, I had an addiction to the gym. I'd always been involved in wellness. And when I say wellness, that was only the physical side of wellness, not the spiritual, not the emotional, not the social, financial, occupational. There's eight pillars of wellness. I had the physical wellness side down, at least I thought I did, but the other seven pillars were completely offline. And I was still out of balance. But where the wellness advocate comes from is that I've always been involved in wellness. Started with physical wellness and eventually evolved to the eight pillars of wellness and why I call myself also a wellness advocate.
So what would you say? Okay, so Nick, you were going to ask him a question here.
What do they need to start with to learn what?
How to become successful.
Yeah, how to become successful.
Well, here's the thing. First you have to recognize where you are right now. Maybe perhaps you're aware on some level you're not where you want to be with your business, your career. You may not be where you want to be with your health and wellness. You may not be where you want to be with your relationships, either if you're in a relationship that's going south or you can't maintain a relationship. So the key is to be aware that something is not working or where you want to be. That's number one. Number two is to accept where you are right now and knowing that you are going to commit to a process. Now, I say process, not the outcome. But everybody obviously desires the outcome to have, you know, a better business, make more money, have thriving relationships, have optimal wellness, and all of the above. However, you can't focus on that outcome if without focusing on the process. So you have to accept where you're at and commit to the process of finding the root cause to the problem that's holding you back. That's a mindset barrier. That's limited beliefs. Because you can't operate within the solution or find the solution inside of you unless the root cause has been addressed and released or resolved from within. So what I mean by that is that usually that root cause to the problem is aligned with your subconscious mindset. Many of us are not tapped into our subconscious mindset, so we don't know what that is. Sometimes people can have passive anger towards a parent and yet don't feel that they're angry in any way towards their parent, but yet that's because it's in the subconscious mindset. And because of that, that is creating situations in their life that reinforce that passive anger over and over again, thus resulting why they're not where they want to be professionally, with their health, wellness, and their relationships. So it's the unresolved root cause to the problem that needs to be addressed, and that's where I have a process that aligns the subconscious mindset with the conscious mindset to resolve it and then find the solution within to move forward.
Wow, that's awesome. I got a question. Some people who are broken, and the broken people, how do you help them?
Well, again, it's the same process, Nick. You know, when we say broke, I mean, everybody at some point feels that they're broken. But in reality, we're never truly broken. We're operating at that time within our false self. We've led to believe that we are what we are based upon what's been told to us and what circumstances have happened up to that point. But that is not our true self. That is not our better self. So the key to operating out of your better self is, again, be aware and to accept where you're at and to commit to the process to resolve the problem, then to find the solution towards your better self, true purpose. That's what I would say to a broke person, that you're never truly broke, and there's no difference between who you are and the person next to you that looks like they got their life all put together, because you don't know where they were. They maybe started on this journey a lot sooner than you did, but you have everything within you to also commit to the process and to find your truth.
No, and that's true that a lot of people, you know, some people can really look like they have it together, you know, and
yet inside they don't.
Yeah, but yet inside they don't have it together, and, you know, they fool the world, but fooling themselves, that's for sure.
You know, majority of the people in the world, of actually, let's go with the United States only, they're all broken. Inside.
There's a lot of people, like you said, you're right. There's a lot of people that put on an act, and some people are good
at
it,
we're all good. It's, you know, bada boom, bada bing.
Go with the flow.
Go with the flow. But yet, inside, they're broken. Everyone has a broken part in their life of what's going on today. And, you know, it's very hard for people to get back to not being broken. And not being.
That's a belief. It starts with, again, it's a mindset barrier based upon a belief that was established back in their childhood. That can relate to money, their dialogue with money. That can relate to how they view life and what their values are, how they live their values, and how they act with other people. Why some people have strained relationships and others have balanced relationships. Again, it's all based upon past experiences and beliefs that were established back in childhood and usually tied back to a root cause, which is usually one of the parents. It could be a father, it could be a mother, or some type of an authoritative figure in that person's life at that time.
Don't you also agree too that, you know, okay, so you're dealing with the person themselves, but then we're, you know, some of us are parents, okay? So I do believe. Well, yeah, some of us have had children. I've had three, and I find that, you know, we do. It's almost like some people say it's called a generational curse, you know, where you pass on whatever's been told to you to your children. And so I really think that people need to work more on themselves so that when they do have kids, they're able to give them better information, or at least to not put something off on their kids or the people around them that is maybe not the right way to think, or maybe
no,
not.
No, you're exactly right. Peggy, you nailed it right on the head there. I mean, here's like when I went through this process, I felt that my father didn't care about me. I never heard my father say that he loved me. Okay, so I figured he was he wasn't a good father. But what I realized through this process that my dad didn't know how to be the father that I wanted him to be. Because when he was growing up, he never had that from his father. So he repeated the cycle.
Right.
He was emotionally abused, physically abused, and verbally abused as a boy. So that's all he knew. And so I wanted my father to be something that he wasn't. He wasn't capable. He never resolved his root cause. So I believe as parents, I'm not saying that they're not bad, really bad parents that do intentionally bad things to their children. I mean, that does happen.
Yeah,
but for the most part, a lot of these things are done that they're not malicious in any way. It's because that's all they know. But unfortunately, it has a negative consequence on the child's development that they bring into their adulthood, and then they repeat the pattern in either the same way or in a slightly different way with their own children. And so the way to break the cycle is to get to the problem.
That's interesting that you say that. And my mom is turning 91, and I sometimes have conversations with her, and I'm talking about my kids with her, and it really does bring you back to you. It brings you back to yourself, and you know, you start thinking when you're speaking about your children and what they're doing. And true, you can't control everyone. I mean, people will do what they're going to do. But I look at her sometimes, and I think, what did you go through that made you instill – who you are, but also what instilled upon me my beliefs. And, you know, and then I think, wow, the things that she's seen and maybe in her mind how she wanted to change but didn't have the courage to change. You know, and that's what I think is really important with what you do.
Penny, you're right on the spot. I mean, think about back then. I mean, you know, life was different. I mean, back then, you know, children – were, you know, to be seen and not heard. And, you know, so a lot of this stuff, children brought this in into their families. And then again, and nowadays, like, you see a lot of enablement going on. You didn't really see that back in the day. Back, you know, I can say that it didn't happen to me. But mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of it now where, you know, a lot of children are enabled. And because of that, you know, they grow up not really putting themselves out there. They're not willing to come out of their comfort zone. They don't take on new responsibilities because everything was handed to them. And not that they're doing anything bad. It's just because that's all they know. It's because that's what they grew up, you know, believing. And this is how they lived and that they always had a safety net. So, you know, there's different things that happen. It doesn't have to be a traumatic background. It doesn't have to be something traumatic that happened in your childhood that will, you know, play out in your adult life in a negative way. It could be something very subtle. You could come from a loving family, but yet there's something there that could, you know, throw you off where you're never going to be on your A game in business, or you're struggling in your relationships, or you're struggling with some aspect of your health.
Don't you think it could be just one comment, you know, one thing? Like I remember going to a seminar once and them saying that, we can't afford that, you know. And it's like, okay, I understand the word you can't afford that, but there is a way to first dream, then to plan, figure out a way to put money away. But also, I think that when people or they'll say, you know, we're not rich or whatever. And, you know, richness is in the eye of the beholder, and it, you know, we're
absolutely
all rich at heart. And I find that, you know, in my experiences, not
trying to want what someone else has really helped me. So then I'm only focused on what I have, and I'm able to make that the best I can. But I find when raising kids, that is so hard because, you know, they're looking at all their friends and you're trying to create this world for them. And sometimes I think having too big of a security net, you can actually do more damage by making a child or a person not fight or earn what they get.
No, it's so true. I mean, it's true because I had a client I coached 4 years ago like that. You know, I had a loving family, great mom, had his mom on a pedestal, but she enabled her whole family. She took care of everything. She even tied this guy's shoes until he was 14. So where I'm going with that is he was 50 pounds overweight most of his life. He never got anywhere in his career because it was a result of being enabled. It's not that he asked for it. It just it was what it was at the time. That's all he knew. Yet he had passive anger towards his mother at the subconscious mind level, so he didn't really know he was even mad. And then his way of controlling that without even knowing it was to overeat, and that's why he was overweight.
Because he was depressing.
It's also called being spoiled as a kid.
Yeah.
Exactly. In this case, I don't know if he was spoiled, but what ended up happening was he was enabled. He was never given the opportunity or put into situations where he had to figure something out on his own or
right.
come out of his comfort zone.
Everyone else did that for him.
Yep.
You got it.
Absolutely. That's very common these days.
Well, Nick is from a family of six kids, and, you know, I've looked, and then I have friends that have had, like, 9 to 12 children. I just look at them and go, what do you do, you know? I mean, and they're all different little facets of you, but yet they all have different personalities. They don't come out with instructions. Life happens.
But notes to them, they have to accommodate these children that they have. And bring them up the right way.
It's hard.
Act the right way and together as a unit, as one.
Plus there's the pecking order things, right? And so I look at Nick's family with, you know, six kids. I'm sure there was a lot of that going on, you know, with all the kids and everything and with the spread and the ages and stuff. So what exactly would you say if there were five key points? What would you say would help someone to change and or at least to start working towards that where they can deal with those issues?
Sure. Well, as I mentioned when we talked earlier, the number one thing is to be aware that something is not working or where you want to be. That could be, again, your business, your wellness, your relationships, or all of the above. Awareness. Number two is to accept where you are at and to commit to the process towards resolving the problem before you're able to implement the solution to follow your purpose. So how does one go about finding their root cause to the problem? That's a daily, this will become a daily habit that somebody will do every day of their life. That's getting up early in the morning and doing 15 to 20 minutes of meditation. You're not forcing it. You're just going at your own rhythm until you get into that rhythm. And then journaling right afterwards, writing down exactly what comes to mind, not overanalyzing or overthinking it, just whatever comes to mind, write it down, and then write down how you feel. Because in time, you're going to be able to look back at that journal and look back at yourself, but in this case, from a third-party perspective, like you're somebody else looking at yourself, and you're able to see the pattern of how you felt, and why certain things in life were happening that reinforced that feeling. Whereas most people are blind to that. But meditation brings clarity. And with clarity, you're able to see more clearer. You're able to see more opportunity around. You're able to see the problem at the subconscious level and be able to then determine how to go about truly releasing it. So those are some of the steps. Now, once you're able to resolve the root cause, is now to keep listening through the meditation and journaling to find the solution. And once you find the solution and your true purpose, you now have to implement a specific, detailed life and business plan that you will follow daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, semi-annually, annually to the end goal, whatever that may be. You have to be very specific with your words. You need to be very specific with the time frame, because the universe will provide you based upon what you do daily. And the thing we talked about earlier, focusing in on the process is the most important element here, because you need to focus on daily attainable goals, because those daily attainable goals done each day, each week, each month, each quarter, and so on and so on, will roll up to your end goal. But if you focus on the outcome or the end result, you're more likely to become overwhelmed. You come out of the present moment. Now you're projecting into the future. You become anxious, and that anxiety then produces procrastination, and that's why a lot of people end up not following through. So the
that's
key is
emotions are crazy.
Those steps,
yeah.
Yep, and to be accountable. And accountability is the icing on the cake. You need to be accountable from day one, from the time you're aware that something is not working, and then the accountability never ends. You're accountable for the rest of your life if you want to, you know, maintain, or in this case, elevate yourself towards sustainable success in whatever that may be for you.
Okay. All right.
I was just saying that.
Well, that's good. I think that, you know, the most important thing is having some place to start. But, you know, don't you think that honesty is one of the biggest, I would say the biggest number one key points is being honest with yourself so that you can look in the mirror. I think that, you know, there's
being
a lot of,
with who you're with.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people that just walk through life and they're just oblivious to what they do to people or whatever.
Well,
you know?
They overanalyze it. They overthink. I mean, that's the whole thing about the journaling is writing down whatever comes to mind. You're being honest in that moment, whatever that is, even if it's the craziest idea. But like I said, a lot of people end up overanalyzing, overthinking that this is the way they should feel, and that's why they live a lie. They end up being somebody they're really not, and that they may look like they got their act together, but just like, you know, Nick and you, what you said is that, but meanwhile inside, it's turmoil. You know, they hide it pretty well, but eventually it does all come out in the wash,
it
and
manifests.
It's not sustainable. It, exactly.
Yeah,
it manifests into either
I
illness.
Being honest with someone, and then all of a sudden they say they could do something for you, and then they turns around to be a lie.
Or they just can't come through, and then they're not accountable. But, you know, I think also, too, that if you have chaos on the inside, it's going to manifest itself outward, and it's going to show, and people are going to see it. And I think that people start running the other direction when they see that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. You could have a smile on your face, and you could say that, you know, I'm doing all these things that are leading me to sustainability. But meanwhile, the thoughts in your mindset are completely opposite. So if your beliefs, your thoughts, and then the words you speak and then the actions you partake in are not in equal alignment or not in alignment, you're not going to achieve what you're looking to do. You're not going to have that sustainability because, again, your thoughts and beliefs are different from what you're saying, and you're not acting on what you're saying.
Actions speak louder than words.
So with all these methods that you've learned and you've put together, what were you going to say, Nick? You were going to ask him about his other talent. He has another one.
Tell us about your books that you've authored and wrote and what?
Sure. Well,
master your
inner critic. That was the one that's the one that you wrote, correct?
It's master your book that I wrote last year, Master Your Inner Critic, Resolve the Root Cause, Create Prosperity. So that's exactly what we've been talking about tonight. That's what's in the book. It also talks about my personal experience. And, yes, that book came out Halloween of last year, and went international bestseller in November of last year. And I've also contributed and co-authored a book with Jack Canfield, the recent edition of Mastering the Art of Success. So I take what I have in Mastering Your Inner Critic And I slightly alter a few things, and I have a chapter that talks about mindfulness towards sustainable success. So that's in the Jack Canfield recent edition of Mastering the Art of Success. That just came out recently, July 13th.
And where can they buy these books? Where are they for sale?
You can buy them on Amazon. There's also Barnes & Noble. My Master Your Inner Critic also has an audio version on Audible. So you can buy, if you want to just, hear it, where you can just put it in your car and listen to it, you can do that. So there's different ways to read it and listen to it, whatever suits you. But it's one of those books that you want to kind of read over and over again so that the process gets firmly implanted so you can start making the necessary changes to, to guide yourself towards your better self.
Well, that's good. Well, now you also have joined the team with your with Voice America. You have your show called The Sustainable Success with Chris Salem. What exactly can you tell us a little bit about that and what it is that you do with that show, with that platform?
Sure. Well, what sustainable success is, and I think we brought it up. Success means different things to different people. It doesn't necessarily mean it's about money and how many material things you have. Sustainable success.
Correct.
Really, it goes back to the prosperpreneur saying is that without your wellness, your wealth means nothing. So, sustainable success is about finding balance between your wellness, your business, and your relationships. Is it going to be perfect? Absolutely not. But always striving for excellence, not perfection, to find balance. Because without that balance in those three areas, sustainable success is not unlikely to happen. You could have all the money in the world, but yet it's going to jeopardize your health. It's going to strain your relationships. And when you think about it, you could have all the money in the world, but if you don't have somebody that you love or loves you, and your health is suspect, you really are not. You really don't have true prosperity yet. I mean, what's the wealth? It doesn't mean anything at that point. So the key is to have that balance, and that's what sustainable success is. But again, it can mean different things for different people. But it looks at wellness, business, and relationships.
There you go.
But starting with self-love, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. You got to have a relationship with yourself in a positive way before you could attract and be able to offer somebody else, because otherwise you're in a dependent relationship. A dependent relationship is not healthy. It can be very toxic. Even an independent relationship, while better and dependent, is also not good. Because if you have two people that are independent, then they're not really working together. Interdependency is the best type of relationship you could have, both personally with your spouse, with your children, and also in your work with your business, whether if you own your own business or you work for somebody.
Correct. Awesome.
Well, that's pretty cool. And what kind of guests do you have on your show with your platform?
Well, usually what I have is I have people that are experts in the areas of, business, relationships, wellness. And so we kind of get an insight in different areas that kind of center around that area. And
we'll have to bring both of us on. But, we have a whole equation that we're doing because we're into the wellness side of things and, with various different things from nutraceuticals and oils and stuff. But we're implementing this into our pizza and we're trying to create that healthy pizza, because Nick is really an amazing chef. I mean, he's a pizza chef that can spin a pie better than anybody I've ever seen do this. And I've watched people just love the flavor of his pizzas. And I mean, we've even, we're starting to implement the essential oils into the flavors because of the fact that, you can buy herbs and things like that, but also teaching people how to eat healthy. And there you go with a different type of wellness, because that's more of a physical wellness as well, but more of the eating type. But also, I find that when you are eating healthier, you think better and you're able to, feel better about yourself. And then all those things that you are saying that, you're teaching people to do, if they can take care of their one responsibility, which is themselves, then I find that it works really well. But we're going to come out with a magazine. We're going to try to create something, and we are going to start gathering contributors because we want the food, beverage, and wellness to have a presence out there, because that's what moves the world these days. It's like the healthier you can make the people around you, it's amazing. So what you're doing?
We're working with Mark Rowe from.
Yeah, he's with Soul Central Magazine, and we've got a couple others.
Global or stay local?
Yes, and what a great thing. But I think that
I'm going to be in his magazine next month.
Yeah, he's going to be putting something out there, and we're going to be doing different tidbits and whatnot out there because we have so many different ideas, and we would love to have Nick's product out there too. But I think that the most important thing is. You have this show that you do, and I think it's great. I love the whole Voice America setup. I think that it's a great team to be a part of. I think that you've joined a really good thing, and
so
it gets your message from the East Coast out everywhere.
Day and time is your radio?
Yeah, when's your show?
The show is every Wednesday.
What time is your radio show?
8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time or 11 a.m. East Coast time.
Okay, and it's on?
It's on Voice America Influencer Channel. So Voice America has several different channels, but the Influencer Channel is relatively new. Came out in May of this year.
Okay.
Now, speaking of your wellness stuff and
let's spread
wellness
the word.
Stuff, we need to make a pizza. You need to create a pizza with
us.
I always appreciate a homemade pizza, and I can appreciate Nick's craft, because I know when I was a kid, I started working in an Italian restaurant at the age of 13. Actually, I was 12. I was 12. And I learned how to make pizza the old-fashioned way, flipping the pie, flipping the dough. And, it's something I haven't done in a long time, but I still can remember. I still know the technique, but I always appreciate somebody that's really – that is a craft, in my opinion, and I've seen Nick on videos and making pizza, and I think it's a wonderful thing. So I'm happy to tell you what my perfect pizza is.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay, so what do we need to do? We need to go start with the dough or the sauce.
You can start with however you want to create your own pizza.
Right.
You tell me what you want, and let's create it.
So here's the thing. I am obviously I'm into health. And so what I like to do is I like to have some, if we could stay away from, the white flour and maybe start with something either whole wheat or something multigrain if it's possible. Know it may not sometimes taste as good to some people, and I can understand that. But I would try that. I would like to have some marinara sauce. Like that type with, a lot of garlic, just
garlic, basil, fresh basil, garlic.
Exactly. And, olive oil. And then, a little bit of cheese and I would like to put some like olives and spinach and, it could be, mushrooms as well. And for me, that just gives me a nice little substance. If you wanted to add some extra protein, you could put a little bit of, chicken on there or clams or something like along those lines. And that to me is that's a good pizza.
For that pie there, I would say clams.
Wow, that sounds
clams. I would say the same thing. Yep. Same.
That would be a marinara clam pizza pie.
Yes.
Or we could call it the margarita. Clam pizza pie.
Pizza margarita, you're right. With spinach, absolutely. I love pizza margarita. It's a great pizza.
So what kind of cheese would you like?
I love, good, just really, it's all natural mozzarella. I mean, it's as unprocessed as possible, but, just natural mozzarella cheese is good for me.
Do you like cheddar?
White cheddar.
I'm not a cheddar guy. I mean, I'll eat, but I'm not really a big cheese guy in itself. But for me, it's I like mozzarella.
I see.
Really
okay,
good quality.
You're looking out for your health.
Yeah.
And you want a low processed.
Yeah,
cheese.
Unprocessed. Like for instance, you know, my wife is Venezuelan, and you know, when I haven't been over to Venezuela recently because what's been going on over there. But when we go over there,
you don't want to go over there.
No, you don't want to be there now. But if you go over there and you have the cheese, you'll notice the difference between the cheese here. It's not processed over there, so you can taste the difference. It,
oh.
The cheese tastes better.
The conservation is different.
That's like going to Mexico.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's true.
Yep.
That's true. And it does taste different.
It really does.
It's not refined. It's not, you know, like I said. And don't get me wrong, I'm sure you can still find great cheese around here, but you know, you gotta find it, and you're gonna pay for it. So but I'd rather have some good cheese. I mean, if it's gonna be a pizza, I'd rather have some really all natural mozzarella, you know, and to make it work.
So if I made your pizza, how would you like the clams cooked? Would you like them cooked with the marinara all together with the basil and garlic? And then put it on top.
I like
of
it probably
dough.
Cooked all together. Yeah, I would like that.
Yeah, there you go. That's called a sauté.
That's a sauté, and it holds the flavor.
You got it. And then you just add some cheese and your black garlic and mushrooms, and guess what? Forget about it.
Forget about it. Yeah. There's nothing like I said, your roots of New Jersey. There's nothing like New Jersey, New York pizza. You know, nothing like it.
Well, that sounds like a great pie. Can't wait to make it.
I'll be happy if I'm there. I'll be happy to eat it.
Well, let's get it going. We'll have to create this with me and Penny here.
Yeah.
All right. And then maybe we'll wait for you to come to California, and you come to our house and create it.
Yeah, we've done
Absolutely.
That a couple times. We've actually filmed.
I would love to flip the pie. And like I said, I haven't done it.
I got a question about that.
Yeah. Exactly.
So when you were 13 years old, you learned how to spin a pizza pie. How did you spin it? Did you just throw it up in the air, like up down, up down?
I would pat it, and then I would go back and forth. With the hands, and then, you know, kind of weave it, you know, kind of like underneath my knuckles.
Yeah, I got
you. And then I would kind of spin it and, you know, kind of, so the dough would stretch until it was, in a circular, you know, form. And,
so
and then I would lay it down.
Right.
No air bubbles in it.
Right.
No air bubbles, no holes, that's for sure.
Exactly.
The only way to get the air bubbles out is when you press it out.
Yes.
He has a special technique that he could show you. And you know, it's funny. We had Rodney Allen Rippey. We had Brian Perry. And we've had a couple others that have actually had their hands on Sarah Stage. And we've watched them. And Nick will actually show you how to throw the dough up, why you need to throw it a certain way, at least to – let you feel the dough first. But I find that the filming that we've gotten is amazing how it all comes together. And you know, another thing too, we're going to keep you on because we've got you know, we have one more thing that we're going to be doing before we close out. But the wellness tip of this week is a real important one. You know, we're trying to implement different habits and whatnot for people, and beets seems to be the one vegetable that is real prevalent right now in all the smoothie joints and, you know, the places that are, you know, the wellness shops and whatnot. And what we're finding is why they are good is, you know, you have all these different vitamins in there. And the most important one is the vitamin C, and it has minerals of potassium that are good for your nervous system, your muscles, your liver, your kidneys, your pancreas, and your bones. So when you are having issues with all of that, it's important to always feed your body what will take the dysfunction away. And so even with what you do, this is a food thing. So the beets, when you put them into a smoothie or you cook them and you can actually eat them raw, but oh my God, they stain everything. But they also reduce the risk of birth defects in pregnant women, and they will actually,
wow.
which is amazing. They will help you. And, you know, we're trying to teach people how to use different things on a pie, okay? So he creates these pies, and we have all these different people that are creating pies, from meat pies to vegan pies. But really, if you look at it, it's knowing why you're putting that on. It's not just for flavor. It's for your health, because everything you put in your body is what's going to make you healthier. So,
it's absolutely true. You're so right. And I think you know it's mindset, nutrition, exercise in that order. That's the way. I think if you're able to follow a pattern of keeping that in balance, you're gonna maximize your life, or offset any particular genetic triggers if you're predisposed to cancer or heart disease in your family,
right,
that type of thing.
Exactly. So you can heal ailments that are coming on or stop them. And we want to make sure that our viewers also, we're down to a couple minutes. We want to make sure our viewers our listeners. We have viewers too. We're going to be doing that. Know where to get your books and how to get a hold of you, because you're available on the East Coast, but yet you do things all over the place
yep.
you speak in engagements. So where can they find you?
I mean, they can find me. My webpage is the best place to find me, at ChristopherSalem.com. I'm also all over social media, so you can find me at Chris Salem or Christopher Salem, which is my professional page. I also have a Sustainable Success Facebook page for the radio show and a Prosperpreneur page as well. So I encourage people to join those. Christopher Salem, Prosperpreneur, and Sustainable Success. Again, my books are available on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, but Amazon is usually the preference. There is an audio version as well as the book itself, and there's also an ebook version or Kindle version, if you want to call it. And
okay.
I'm going to be in California speaking at the Action to Wins event October 16th. In Los Angeles, so I think it's right around the airport, LAX, where the hotel is. Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, listen, we love to have you on. It was fun,
we have
a lot of stuff going on, and we'll be reaching out, and we'll make sure that we put it out there so that our listeners can get that information more and more by reposting and whatnot. And if they have any questions, they'll be able to contact you at one of those places.
And I want to thank you both, Nick and Penny, for having me on the show today. And it was a lot of fun. And like I said, I hope the information shared was valuable to the listeners and that they take the first step, which is, again, be aware. Recognize that something's not where you want to be. That should be at the very least what you should take away from listening to that.
There you go.
Okay. Well,
thank you very much, Chris.
Thanks for being on our show.
Have a great month, great year. We'll be talking to you. Have a great night. God bless.
You too.
You're the man.
Enjoy your evening.
Hey, don't forget about it.
Don't forget about it.
I won't forget about it.
Okay. All right. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
All right.
We hope you enjoyed our show. If you like us, email us or repost our show. Saying goodbye from celebrity pizza guy Nicholas Rubin and fashion wellness coach Penny Latham. We'll see you next week on The Forget About It Show.